Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. You're invited to give us a call with your comments or questions after the top of the hour news. If you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today in studio here, it's the second Tuesday of the month. We welcome city staff, and flying solo today is city manager Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KJO. Glad to have you. How have you been, my friend?
I've been productive and a little busy.
Productive and yes. A little busy.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm solo today is we have just at the city, we're going in all directions, keeping up with all the projects that we have. And I felt really bad pulling someone from a project to come sit with me on the radio show. So
yeah.
I'm being the Han Solo thing today.
Okay. So we're not that important.
Yeah.
At any rate, what are the projects that you're dealing with right now? What is at uppermost in the city's mind that is occupying? I know Boatnik's just ahead. I know there's work going on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got a number of projects that I can highlight, or at least things that are taking some of our focus. And so one of those is, like you said, Boatnik. This is the time of year where we are getting ready and working with all of our community partners to put on some amazing events. And Boatnik is coming up. That does require a lot of effort from the Active Club and a number of other individuals, including the city, where it does require a lot of additional police services for that time and administrative services to get things ready. We've got a great parade coming up associated with that also. So it's a great celebration time of year here in Grants Pass. You know, some of the things that we're focusing on it's budget time, and I'll talk about the budget in a little bit, but just talking about in general some of the projects and some of our focus items that we have is public safety funding. As you and probably your listeners are aware, this is something that we've been working on for over a decade, recognizing that expenses are outpacing revenues, and it has come to a point where, you know, the property taxes 12 years ago were, and your property taxes of your $1.79 levy that we had, special levy for public safety, and the $4.13 per thousand, were paying for police and fire and support services. And so it's easy just to say, hey, all of your property taxes are going to public safety services. Well, over the years, expenses have outpaced revenues, and we've been putting in additional general fund dollars to help support the cost of public safety services. And it's gotten to a point where general fund is just maxed out and tapped. So council over the years have tried to do things like create a fire district or look at a sales tax or partner with the county for a sales tax. We looked at increasing the $1.79 levy, and all of those efforts failed for one reason or another. So we still have the challenge of how do we fund our police, fire, and support services. Council did implement, which will be coming on your bill soon, a $12 increase for residential dwelling units for a public safety fee. That is going to bring in about $3.4 million to help fund police, fire, and support services. Now, that doesn't fix the issue. That does alleviate some of the pressure.
It just delays it, doesn't it?
Yeah, because we're still dealing with this issue of general fund and what its ability is to help also pay for public safety services. So above and beyond the $3.4 million that this new revenue brings in, we're still needing approximately $4 million of general fund dollars. And so back in the day, those general fund dollars went to a number of different operations. It went to parks, it went to community development, it went to recreation, and it went to police and fire services and support services. And now that money is all basically transferred into public safety type of services. So there's been programs that have really, any growth has really been stunted. For instance, parks. We all know that if we look at our parks 7 years ago and we look at our parks today, the uses are different in the parks. There are different individuals using the parks. We've expanded services within the parks, yet our staffing has been stagnant. And it's not because we don't need additional staff help. We don't need additional FTE. We don't need additional maintenance work done. It's because the resources have not been able to be applied and allocated to parks because we've been utilizing those general fund dollars to help support One of the things council's always said is public safety is one of our top priorities, and that's where the resources go, and rightfully so. They need to go where council deems appropriate. So we are still working on that. We have had a number of forums recently since the public safety utility fee has come into place. Councilor Lovelace has done a good job in trying to facilitate and continue to have a discussion with some of the community members on what's next. And, you know, originally the whole discussion of public safety funding back in the day with Councilor Oze also, it was an idea of how do we eliminate the levy? Because a levy in itself has been an issue when it comes to retention and recruitment. Because it expires, right. And so anyone that's new to the organization, 1 to 3 years, the levy's coming up. It's like, is it going to be renewed? Is it not going to be renewed? And for it bringing in, you know, 25% or so of our revenue, needed revenue, that's a big chunk. And without that, we would need to look at some kind of service level reductions. And so that's always on the minds of individuals, that lack of stability. So we still have not, totally addressed that challenge and conquered that challenge with a number of different funding opportunities that we've been looking at. So we're continuing to have that as in the back of our mind from a staff perspective. So that's one of the things we're working on, is trying to make sure that we're still giving a focus on how to fund public safety. There's a number of other things that we're looking at, and even when it comes to enhancing community safety, and that is trying to posture Grants Pass for being a leader and being an active partner with the community for addressing homelessness, mental health, drug addiction, et cetera. And usually cities have taken different roles and responsibilities associated with that, but one of the things that we try to do is we try to work with our community partners to try to facilitate discussions, to house the discussions at the city council chambers, to help staff that. And we've been able to make some good progress over this last year, 2 years, to increase the city's infrastructure associated with the ability to provide mental health and drug addiction services to the unhoused. And that's growing, and we're continuing to see that grow. And council has also provided direction to me to look at what are our opportunities for properties and locations for a navigation, some kind of assistance for people with that are dealing with being unhoused. So we're currently looking at that, and we'll be reporting back to council here probably within 30 days what our findings are of possible locations and what we might be looking at.
Let me jump in here, because we've been looking for a navigation spot for years.
Yeah.
Here. The land is the same. Is there something positive on the horizon that you can foresee? What are you going to tell council? Do you have an idea yet? Is that available?
Well, as you know, following this over the years, we've made a number of attempts to identify and actually purchase a property. And we've come so close to actually purchasing properties, and yet those efforts in the past have stalled. They've stalled because of community input. And other reasons. Financially, it's hard to find the capital. We still have some ARPA dollars left, and depending on how it's allocated, are we going to continue to allocate some of the dollars to the pool and to some of our other areas that we have technically allocated for ARPA dollars? And so we do have the ability, if we look harder at what we've got allocated now, to potentially have some resources to purchase a site, which we have had in the past. The key is, where's the right site for the community? And that's a tough one.
That's the one we've been dealing with for years. And then there's the NIMBYs, the not in my neighborhood people. And I can certainly identify with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's tough. And we've expanded into the commercial zones where we could have such a infrastructure in place. So primarily our look is in commercial zones, industrial zones, business park zones. That's the location where we're looking for available properties of, around 2 acres or more that would be able to provide some navigation type services. And then we've had discussions And the mayor's been great about this, also pulling together some of our nonprofits and even the county to try to discuss if a site was found and if we actually had the ownership of the site, do we have the funding to operate it? We're looking at, you know, talking with UCAN, who would be a potential player at providing services for a navigation center. We're needing about $1.5 million a year. And there would need to be
just to administer it.
Yeah, yeah, to have that operating and administered. And so and we would need to have some kind of financial, whoever the service provider is would likely need to have some kind of financial assurance that it's not going to be operational for just 1 year. So it would be multiple years that we'd be looking at to do that. So that's a whole nother discussion that we're having. Now, one of the stumbling blocks to getting, say, some state allocated resources for this or to get grant funds is recently the state and the federal government really like what we call shovel ready projects, projects that are already on the books, on the shelf, ready to go, to where if they gave you a certain amount of resources, you could turn around within a 12 month period or whatever it is and have that infrastructure in place. So right now for the City of Grants Pass, we are not there because we don't have an identified site. Now, if we had an identified site that was under a local ownership that would provide for that ability to have that service there, that's almost that shovel ready, that property's ready. So now we could go and start acquiring and asking for grant funds or funding from a state and federal level to get operational dollars for such a service. So that's been a hindrance for us. And that's why we haven't, that's one of the, there's a number of reasons, but that's one of the reasons why we've had some difficulty in acquiring some additional resources for operations.
All right. We'll continue this. Most interesting so far, but we have to take a little break here. We'll be right back after this word. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. I had a couple of calls try to get through earlier. Once again, we'll take your calls after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, City Manager Aaron Kubik is on board, and we've been talking about lots of things facing the city, and it all comes back to money. We mentioned the ARPA funds earlier that could be designated to acquire that navigation center or place for that. But are we under the gun? Don't we have to use those dollars by a specific date?
Great point. That's why we do have we're operating under a time constraint. So when it comes to council, we recently had a workshop on this. So council has a clear understanding of where we are with that time constraint. We need to have the ARPA dollars allocated by the end of 2024. So into this year. That doesn't mean they have to be spent and out the door. It means that we basically have to have those dollars contracted. And then we have an additional 2 years to make sure that those dollars are spent and totally out the door. So we are operating under a short time frame to make sure that we've buttoned up exactly where those dollars are going. Say, for instance, we had a $200,000 that was set aside for a repeater for communication systems for our public safety department. This communicator would be put, say, for instance, on the top of the U.S. Cellular Tower on the top of Dollar Mountain, which would help with any dead spots or help with any areas where we have some areas that need additional strength. Well, we realize that that's not going to be enough. So where's council going to allocate that additional $200,000? And we were looking at, well, we can buy just regular handheld radios that we need to update. So there's a number of infrastructure things that we're looking at purchasing with that. But there are some dollars, approximately $1.5 million to $2 million that are left that have not been spent. Now, we have it allocated, but it has not been spent. And the key is, by December 24th, we do not want to be in a spot where we're turning back those federal dollars. We want to make sure that we're in a spot where we have those fully allocated somewhere. And there's last minute decisions that council could make to allocate those. If some things that we, some good intentions to provide for the community, whether it be for housing or something, didn't come through, we could put those into the water treatment plant debt and the cost of the water treatment plant. There are things that we can immediately just turn around, have it allocated, and be fine. I don't anticipate us turning back any of those ARPA dollars. We have the ability to act quickly and appropriate those so we don't have to turn them back.
But right now the plan is to use those for a navigation center if we can find the right location. Am I reading that correctly?
Well, that's a potential funding option. There may be others that we will look at from a council perspective, but that was just a general discussion. And the key is not really the funding source yet, but the key is that council wants to have a look at what opportunities do we have within the city limits of Grants Pass for a navigation center. And so funding will come next after we determine what options there are.
Are you getting some help from any of the nonprofits?
We have been getting a great amount of help from the nonprofits when it comes to what their needs would be, their ability to serve, their interest in serving. We have a group of nonprofits that over the past few years have really come together. 10, 12 years ago, it seemed like the nonprofits were somewhat territorial, not to speak in a negative sense, but very focused on their mission. And today, what I've seen and greatly appreciate is that these nonprofits are whatever their mission is, they're joining their missions together. And our strength is we are so much stronger because the nonprofits are working together for common good. And it's allowing us to do some good things in this community.
Some good things.
Yes.
Allowing us, are we doing those good things now? Can you point some out?
Well, like say for instance, one of the things that's great is we have Mint that is opening up a small type navigation center that may have up to 15 type of pallet shelters.
This is the Parker House.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah.
That's one example. That has come together because a number of nonprofits have come together and they're working on a common good. It's a multiplying factor when you have that opportunity to work together on one project. So,
all right. The Parker House, great project coming up. Just down the street is another project going in right here.
Yes.
But these are just a small portion of what is needed in order to achieve the goal. And what is the goal to house the unhoused?
Well, I'm not sure if I would characterize that as the goal. That would be a very tough one to actually mark off as checked and successful. If you look throughout the Pacific Northwest, from Washington down to California, we have not realized where that goal has been complete. This is an issue that's so complex that to just say we're out to house the unhoused is a task that we have not found a solution yet and because of the complexities. We need to break it down and look at it from a service delivery standpoint of, the veterans, look at it from a standpoint of mental health and drug addiction, and how do we better those individuals within the community. And I'm not the specialist on it. I've just seen what sort of works in communities and what doesn't work in communities. And when you break those goals down to some smaller objectives, then you start seeing the success and you start seeing the community members and partners coming together and the community backing those type of activities because they see the benefit that it has on the individuals that it's serving, but they also see the benefit on the community and how the community looks and feels.
Housing the unhoused, that's a broad topic.
Yes, it is.
And you just outlined it beautifully. Almost like it's so monumental that it's beyond the scope of a city the Grants, size of Grants Pass. So he's nodding yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. But that being said, we have our own problems within housing the unhoused. And, of course, people are talking about getting people out of the parks. We're waiting for the Supreme Court to make a ruling, but we're also under the state law here that prohibits a lot of what we can do. Do we have a plan going forward? Should we get a positive situation from the Supreme Court? And there are lots of ways to go from here.
Well, I think ultimately if the city has a favorable judgment coming out of the Supreme Court when it comes to our injunction in the case, and it in some form or fashion overturns what we were under right now in our injunction and the way it reads, we still need to comply with House Bill 3115, which put into place the time, place, and manner for the state of Oregon and municipalities in the state of Oregon. I think what that would do is I think it would potentially fuel further discussion at a state level with regards to how can we do some additional reform associated with time, place, and manner for municipalities to provide them even additional flexibility and ownership on this. But as it stands, we still need to have time, place, and manner win or lose in the Supreme Court based on state law.
Now, we have already instituted a modified version of time, place, and manner with the closing of the parks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have improved the situation, but not alleviated it, right?
Yeah. And so if there is a favorable judgment coming out of the Supreme Court, we will have the ability to create our own time, place, and manner regulations. We'll have the ability to provide direction on what parks, when, et cetera, the public spaces in general can be utilized for resting. It provides a lot more additional flexibility than we have right now. Right now, we have very little flexibility. We have all public spaces, parks can be utilized for resting except Reinhardt Volunteer Park. So, and that's what we have to operate under. So with the injunction being gone, council and the community will be able to determine what the appropriate time, place, and manner is for the city of Grants Pass.
And in your spare time, what do you do? Sorry. We're coming up. We've got about a minute left here before I have to take a break. And obviously, we're talking about Boatnick and what's happening there and what's going on in the parks and the homeless situation and the budget situation, which we'll dive deeper into after the top of the
news.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
And any other areas that you want to forecast that we'll be talking about?
Well, we're just doing some great things. Even just with some of the dollars, this city council is great at trying to make sure we're a partner in development for the city. We've given out over $21,000 in grant funds to nonprofits to help them with their events, say, for instance, Porch Fests and Boatnick, et cetera, through some of our travel tourism dollars. And that's a new program that we put into place. And that's just one example of some of the good things that we're doing that has provided that we've gotten direction from council, from a policy decision, and showing that we care and we want to be active partners in people's success.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aaron Kubik. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, after the top of the hour news. We'll be right back with more about the city of Grants Pass.
Comfort is more than a lie.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the lines are open. Call 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you throw your question towards City Manager Aaron Kubik this morning. Once again, Aaron, once again, we appreciate your time here this morning. We mentioned budget earlier, and I think we want to delve into that just a little bit. And I've heard city councilors here saying that they have gone through the budget and they have sliced and sliced and sliced, and it's pretty thin right now. And yet within the last week, I have had multiple people say, man, if I could get my hands on that budget, I would save this city. I would cut hither, thither, and yon. Is there any place left to cut?
So we actually run a really lean organization, and we're able to do that because of the quality colleagues that I work with. We truly have, whether it be community development or public safety, police, fire, water treatment plant, it's we run lean. It's people are sometimes surprised to hear that we're basically operating with 5 FTE in the water treatment plant to produce water on a daily basis, anywhere from 4 million gallons to 15 million gallons a day. That's pretty incredible. And so every department and division, I think, is a very lean machine that is providing quality customer service and helping build community. So when it comes to extra things, we've been through that process over the years. Over the past 3 years, we've cut almost $4 million to help balance the budget. Now, some of those things we brought back, some of them were temporary in nature. But when council was looking at those things, we're at a place where if we were to do any kind of additional reductions, we'd be looking at a reduction where the community would definitely see a change in the level of their service in whatever department or division it would be. So there isn't a lot of things to look at. We really don't have that. There are things in the budget. Say, for instance, we have a $255 million budget, but and that may sound huge, and it is a large number. It's a large number, but that includes all of our capital expenditures, all of our transfers, all of the infrastructure needs, and then the operating and things like that. So it is a very solid budget. I'm very pleased to present a balanced budget this year, for council. And we are in our, second week, which, tonight actually is our third and last scheduled budget meeting for the budget committee, where they'll be hearing the budget from administration and the urban renewal agency, and ultimately doing a tentative approval on the overall budget, which they've heard over two nights last week also.
All right. This is open to the public to hear, but I don't think there's any testimony scheduled. Is that correct?
It is open to the public, every one of the budget committee meetings. And the reason why we have a budget committee and budget committee meetings, one of the key reasons is to provide for the public an opportunity to speak. That is an Oregon Revised Statutes requirement. Every municipality in the state of Oregon, when they have a budget meeting, they have to have an opportunity for public comment. It's just good public policy. So we will be presenting the budget. If the public has any concerns, they want to address with the budget committee, they have the ability and the right to come. They'll have 3 minutes, and they can speak to the budget committee on that.
And that begins this evening?
At 6 o'clock.
Council chambers.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's your opportunity to make your – if you think you can go in and cut the budget, here's your chance.
Yeah, and we've got, like I said, $255 million in total budget, but our operating budget is almost $57 million. So that's a big difference, and there's a big difference between the total budget and an operating budget. The operating budget really focuses in on what it costs to run the organization and provide the services on a daily basis. So it might not take into account the transfers over to capital and the dollars that we're saving for, say, for instance, a future water treatment plant. What it does is it takes in the costs of personnel and contract services and materials and services, and putting that all together, how much does it truly cost the city to operate? And that's $56.6 million to be exact.
$56.6 million, yes. Just to operate the city.
Yes.
Okay. Looking ahead, and I want to go back to Boatneck for a little bit this weekend, because basically we lease Riverside Park to the Active Club. Is that explain how all this works now?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we have like Frog Affair. We have concerts in the park. We used to have concerts. We have groups that utilize the park. And so they usually rent the park for the day, or they rent a portion of the park. The Active Club has a little bit of a different contract with the city. They're not just using a piece of the park. They actually have a contract with the city where the park is theirs for a week. And so they basically have, they're truly leasing the park with the rights of a lessee to utilize that park. So, it is a little bit different. That provides them the ability to manage that area appropriately based on what's most important for their event, and it just takes that park out of inventory for a week.
All right. What does that do for the tent city within the park? Where do they go?
So for those individuals that are unhoused and have been utilizing, say, Riverside Park, we provide notice in advance to let them know that the park is actually being closed. You may recall about a year and a half ago or so, we did close the park. And so it's similar to that nature, where we are basically closing the park, and they have an opportunity to go to all the other parks for resting except Reinhardt Volunteer Park and Riverside Park for that week.
All right. Do we move them, or do they move themselves?
They move themselves. We've had good success with our community response team, and they're amazing working with all the unhoused individuals and then utilizing the parks to get compliance, and we don't usually have an issue with that. The park will be cleared out by the time the active club needs it for Boatnik and the lease that they have with the city.
Now, this is our last opportunity to talk with you about Boatnik. That's why I wanted to get into it.
Yeah, that's great.
A little bit here. Now, that's going to put an additional strain on our local law enforcement.
Yes.
I know Chief Hensman's probably planned for this. Exactly what are the logistics that we are looking at here?
A lot goes into the planning for this event months in advance to, you know, that we take a month or two off from a planning perspective and get right back into it in whatever form or fashion we can to help support the active club. But there are processes that are in place. They're meeting with the city and making sure we're planning everything out appropriately. So we know that this, along with a few other community events, takes a lot of additional staffing. And so which requires additional overtime. And we've got shout outs to our public safety folks, our police department, et cetera, who would like to work for the Boatnik week and during the events. But the key is we need to make sure that we keep and we provide some form of safety. Now they have to provide their own security and that kind of thing. We're there as a backup. We're not the primary, but it does require a lot of overtime for the parade, for the event itself. And when you're running really lean, like we're minimum staffing levels when it comes to patrol on a 24-hour basis. It requires overtime basically for these special events.
With all of the focus on the park, does it leave the rest of the area vulnerable?
No, because we will not go below the minimum staffing levels for the rest of the city during the day on our 24-hour service. That is something Chief Hensman feels very strongly about. We will maintain the appropriate level of service for the city of Grants Pass. The additional level of service needed for the active club during Boatnik is on an overtime basis, not on we're just going to cut we're going to cut half of our patrol and put them towards Boatnik. That's not the case.
It's not the case. So people should feel as confident in their law enforcement as they always do.
Correct. Okay. We will be there to respond if they call 911.
All right. Well, that's good news. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. In-house is City Manager Aaron Kubik, and we'll continue right after this word. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, we're down to about our last 13 minutes here. There's time for a phone call. It's 541-472-1270. If you have a question for our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik. One of the big drawbacks to attracting additional development here in the city has been the housing shortage right now. But we've got some positive news on the horizon, do we not?
We do. There's a number of things that the city council has done, the community is doing to address some of our housing needs. From a community perspective and from a state perspective, there's been some changes in our development codes that have been focused through the state level where everyone's dealing with it in that is considered an urbanized area, and that's middle housing and some of the climate-friendly things that have come up when it comes to building. And what middle housing has done is it has removed some restrictions and opened up general residential properties for increased density. And what we're seeing an increase in where primarily residential permits in the past have been single family residential homes. And subdivisions have been, 12 lots of 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes. What we're starting to see now is, and the reason why this is helping the housing inventory, is we're seeing more middle housing type of development. So now we're seeing more development with smaller homes that say double or almost triple the inventory that used to be put on a subdivision. So middle housing has provided an opportunity for, say, in an R18 zone where there didn't used to be the ability to have a triplex or a quadplex, you can only have, like in certain residential zones, a single family home. That's changed. And so people are now more open to developing their properties where they weren't before because now they have the potential to make it more affordable or to provide more profit because they're able to put more infrastructure in, more housing infrastructure. So that's a positive from a private developer standpoint. From a public perspective, there's a number of things that we're looking at doing. So we have what's called an urban growth boundary. So we have the city limits, and outside the city limits, we have an urban growth boundary. That urban growth boundary is an identified space and area that is supposed to be our 20-year growth plan. So within the next 20 years, these are the areas that we're going to grow into. So it provides a plan. It's long-range planning is what it is. Above and beyond that, we have an urban reserve area, which is, say, for instance, the next 20 to 40 years. And we've identified some urban reserve areas also. So what we've seen throughout the state, and one of the things that are available to us now, is maybe some of our urban renewal, our reserve area, the 20 to 40 year, has seen more potential for growth than our 20 year growth potential. So we're in an opportunity where we can potentially flip-flop properties, and our urban growth boundary, which was planned for 20 years, maybe it's not developing, but our reserve is ready and primed for that. We can flip those properties and take some of our urban growth boundary land, put it into reserve land, take our reserve land and put it into the urban growth land. It sounds like sort of a shell game thing, but what it is infrastructure will naturally develop. The water lines, the sewer lines, transportation will naturally develop as the private market deems so. And so sometimes that grows differently than what your long-range plan is. This provides an opportunity for us to be flexible and increase our infrastructure.
How much land do we really have out there? Just looking at our terrain, it feels kind of like we're a little landlocked.
We do have some issues when it comes to terrain. We, for the city of Grants Pass, one of the things that makes, I think, this a beautiful place to live is we are just right up against some wonderful hills and mountains. Well, one of the difficulties with that is now we're talking about steep slope development and where do we go, because that in itself creates an issue. It's more expensive. So we have to find new areas to either grow into, or what we've been focusing also, we've had to try to come up with ways to increase density within the city itself, because we are limited when it comes to where we can grow, where some of our urban growth boundary is backing up on ag land, and ag land is a very protected zone in the state of Oregon. And so it's very difficult to try to get some of those things changed out. So increased density is one of the things we're looking at. And even the city is looking at where we can contribute. And one example is we have an Allen off of Williams Highway. We have 9 acres, which we're calling the Allenwood development. It was slated for a park. And council is looking at, and we're taking steps to utilize that property for additional housing. And so this 9 acres, although it will be a mixed use, there will be a city park associated with it also. We're looking at potentially contracting with a company that would also provide up to, say, 86 homes. That's 86 homes that aren't on inventory right now. That's 86 homes that were not even considered as part of an option for being in inventory because it was a designated park location. This is just one of the opportunities, and there's others that council's looking at of city property that may be underutilized or may be utilized in a better way for the housing needs. And so there's others that we're looking at. But this is another example of the city of Grants Pass and the city council making informed decisions in ways that we can help increase housing inventory.
That development of 86 homes, what kind of homes are we looking at there? Are we talking high density there, or are we talking, what was your term, three-bedroom, two-bath, which has been certainly the the measuring stick for a long time. That size, smaller, what are we looking at there, or do we know yet?
Well, I think ultimately if you look at quality of life issues and you look at development standards, there's a number of things that come into play when it comes to what is truly the best design and what is the best density. So for this development here that we're talking about off of Williams Highway, we would be looking at basically a mixed use in a way from a standpoint of not commercial residential, but mixed use residential. So there would be some single family homes. There would be maybe some duplexes, quadplexes, and there could be the potential of having an apartment complex or two to get that number up to 86.
Let's see. One that we've been talking about for years, the Ramsey development.
Yes.
That's coming off top dead center, isn't it?
So Yeah, we've been working on the Ramsey, Nebraska property for some time. That's a piece of property the city owns basically on the corner of Ramsey and Nebraska, over sort of by the hospital. And it's a great piece of property for development. And the focus was originally, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, for us to provide an opportunity for a contractor to come in, a developer to come in and develop that for low-income housing. And we did create a partnership with a developer to create lower-income housing for senior citizens. The key is, and one of the things we were going to do is provide some favorable language for them in the acquisition of that property. We weren't going to give it to them. But then one of the keys for them to develop is they need some dollars from the federal government.
They needed some extra funding.
Yes. And so over the years, they've been trying and reapplying, and we still have every intent to continue to partner, and they have every intent to partner with the city to get this done. We just need to make sure the funding package is put together, and then we'll be able to move forward with that.
We've got about 3 minutes left here, Aaron. And I know we want to mention once again the budget committee meeting tonight.
Yes.
At 6 in city council chambers.
Yes.
So the public certainly invited there. What else do the public need to take away from this? What do they need to know? What kind of questions are you getting asked these days that people really should know about?
Well, I think ultimately if you are – and let's just talk about – we were just talking about housing. So let's focus on a minute on housing. If you own a piece of property, 0.22 acres or even 3 acres, we have some larger tracts of land that's undeveloped also within the city. And you want to know what your potential development opportunities are. Well, what can this property actually do for me? Say you own a single family home, but you've got a large open space also within your property. Can I develop it? What about an equivalent dwelling unit? What about a triplex? What can I do to potentially have maybe an income piece of property or something along those lines? Utilize the city as a resource. Please stop by community development. We have some my colleagues are amazing, and they'd be able to sit down with you and pull up your property, talk to you about the options. And what's available to you when it comes to new middle housing code, ADUs, and how you may be able to change the infrastructure on your home or your property to develop it to its best potential. Utilize this as a great resource, and that way you can make an informed decision on what to do with your future on your property.
So you're standing by ready to help.
We are. We want to be an active partner in the success of our community, which includes the residents, as an individual, as a homeowner, and the businesses within our community.
All right. I still got about a minute and a half.
So the other part that I just want to say is, and I think, and conclude every time with this is, and it's sincere, we are at our best when we hear from you. That is how good government works. So if you do have questions, call me. You could talk to me. You could talk to the chief henchman. You could talk to Jason Kennedy, the public works director. We are all available to help you and to answer your questions. If you have a concern or a question, please give us a call. We truly are at our best when we hear from you and what your concerns are. That provides an opportunity for us to see if our long-range planning is working or if we need to modify some of the things that we're doing. If you're curious or interested about something that might be going on in your neighborhood, give us a call. We're here to help.
450-6000 gets you to the city hall.
That is the number.
That's the number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I called that just before your arrival here. Where is he? En route. Aaron, I want to thank you very much today. We appreciate your presence here and your time, and pass that along to your staff and certainly to Chief Hensman. We appreciate the work that he's done. Try to get him some more.
Will do.
All right. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band. Heard all around the world on KAJO.com.
Hey, what happened?